Well, let's take our Bibles then to the book of Proverbs. That's where we are. Now, this is an unusual chapter, chapter 30. And in going through it, there's just so many things, so many different places someone who wants to teach this can park. And so what I'm going to do is not park. I'm going to fly up to about 300 feet and just kind of look at it as an overview. And I love to do that anyways. You're flying. That's why I love flying in a... Now, jets are a different story. You know, if you're up in a... Now, I did fly in a business jet one time. That was a lot of fun. But if flying in a commercial jet, you get up there and it's just like being in a big can. All right? But when you're in a small airplane and you take off and you're flying at about 4,000 or 5,000 feet, whatever it is, 3,000 feet, and you look down, you can still see the cars going, just look like little toys. And it's just exciting. Well, that's the way we're going to do tonight. We're going to go up to about, maybe 2,000, 3,000 feet and look down at what this chapter is all about. All right? Let me tell you what the chapter is all about. All right? Are you ready for this? I hope you'll absorb this. All right? It is about 2, 4, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 3, 4, 3. I'm surprised somebody didn't say hike. All right. But you say, well, preacher, that's a little odd. Well, you know how I am, a little odd anyway. But no amens there. But nonetheless, as you look at Proverbs, well, let's just look at the first couple of verses, and that gives us a running start. The words of Azur, the son of Jechah, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal. Now, there's only a couple of names in there that even appear in the Bible other than right here. Most of the ones that are in that verse are not in the Bible anywhere else that I can find. But you have Ithiel, who was of the tribe of Judah, and it goes back to Nehemiah, the days of Nehemiah, as he was coming into Jerusalem. He got permission to come into Jerusalem, and they were setting up the priests. They were setting up a number of different things. And as you see this particular chapter, it is believed, at least as I looked at the history of it just a tad, that it was just an individual who wrote this, and it was included in the canon of Scripture. Because it is so profound in what it is saying. And when we look at it from an overview, I think you'll begin to see why that they believe that God's hand was upon this. So we'll not look into the history of it, but notice verse 2. He says, surely I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. So he's starting from a position of humility and he is saying this. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the holy. Now, that's the last of where it is not just profound. I mean, just when you start to look at it, and not that this is not profound. It's the Word of God. Obviously, it is. But it's starting off with him just saying, I don't want the attention to be on me. I want the attention to be, well, let's look at it. Verse number 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Obviously, he's talking about whom? Help me out. Jesus or God, right? Only God can hold the wind in his fists. Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Okay, the garment there has the idea of borders. Okay, just that's why you don't have the Pacific running over into the Atlantic. You know, through crossing over the Mississippi and, you know, going through South Carolina and North Carolina, even though there's global warming and the oceans are right. No, there it really is not, all right? So you don't have that. The Bible says that God keeps the oceans in their garments, in their boundaries, all right? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Notice verse number 5. Every word of God is what?
Pure.
He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Notice the next verse. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And then you'll notice, beginning with the very next verse, the reason I began giving numbers. Verse number 7, you have two things. You come down to verse number 11, you have four things. You come to verse 13, you have one thing. You come down to verse number 15, you have two things. You come to verse number, 15, you have, at the end of 15, you have four things. And I won't keep giving you the numbers, I've already done that, but you kind of see the sequence. So as I reread this and saying, Lord, what would you have me to look at? Which of these do you want me to look at? And it just seemed that the Lord wanted me to just back off a little bit, fly up a little bit, and look down. And what an unusual chapter. I'm trying to stretch my brain and think of any other place in the Bible that it goes into this much detail about this many numbers other than the book of Numbers, talking about the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of whatever had so many people in it and so forth. But as you see it here, it's not about the numbers, because a lot of me says there were four things. It's not so much about the numbers as the subjects that are represented in those numbers. So what I'm going to do tonight, and I don't want to tread on anybody's teaching for next week, so I'm just going to hop, skip, and jump is what I'm going to do. And so you can land. I'm up there just kind of getting an overview. And next week, fellas, if you want to come in and land on a particular one and say, that is what the Lord led me to and where it was rich for my soul. And I hope that you will. All right, so let's look at it. I'm just going to look at these number of verses, and I'm going to tell you the basic theme, at least from Brayology here. I'm going to give you the basic theme of these numbers that are listed. It's listed, some of them, just one thing. There will be a theme for that one thing. There may be four things that are listed, and I'm going to give you a concurrent theme among them, the same theme that's among them, all right? So look at verse 11, and I'm not going to take time to read all the verses, but let's just start with verse 11. All right. Now, in verse number 7, he gives us two things, but he really gets down into the sequence of things when you get to verse 11. He says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Okay? So there's four things, and he goes into verse number 12, and another generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their own filthiness. All right, from their filthiness. All right, so as you look at verse number 11, to me, it is speaking of ingratitude concerning the parents. Those are the key word there is, in verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Now, you're going to say, well, Brother Bray, it's obvious. And I agree with you. But when we begin to look, and this is what finally, I had to go through this and look at it several times and still until a picture started opening for the Bray's heart and the Bray's mind to where here's what God's doing. He's doing very much like the Apostle Paul did in Romans 16. You remember Romans 16, we've mentioned it before, I think, or I've mentioned it before, and you've studied it before, but in Romans 16, he is basically saying, oh, and say hello to Phoebe, and say hello to Aquila and Priscilla, and say hello to, but he didn't just give their names. With almost every single one of them, he told why he wanted them to be greeted. And it said, greet Aquila and Priscilla, for they laid down their lives for my sake, or they had a church in their home, or they did this and that and the other, and there's a whole group of them. I forget now, like 15 or 13 or something like that, a whole group of them. And what Paul was doing by doing that is he was using them as a visual aid, telling in Romans 16, oh yes, and tell so-and-so hi, and so forth, in different salutations to them, but he, in telling why, he was going back over all of the book of Romans where he taught various doctrines, various manners of living as a Christian that they were to live, how to deal with temptation, how to be used of God, how to have unity in a New Testament church. And so as he was saying, oh, and he's finishing up his letter to the, I mean, very last paragraph, he is saying goodbye to them and say hello to, and he is doing that. And as you look, you take the names away, and you just look at the subjects that were left, of all that he said about these people, but you take their names away and you look at the subjects and it begins to say, wait a minute, he's giving a review of what he wants and what God wants in our lives. And that's what God, I didn't think about Romans until later, but that's about what he's doing here. He's telling us. Now, he goes into some bad things in Proverbs chapter 30, and he goes into some good things. So very quickly, before we go to prayer, and that's going to happen fairly quickly, so let's just go through it. You don't really have to study it or think through it a lot. Just kind of let it absorb. We're up at 3,000 feet. Let's just absorb it. So I'm just going to go through it quickly. Verse 11 talks about your father and your mother, you curse, there's a generation that curses father and does not bless their mother. So that's talking about ingratitude. Verse number 12, look at that. He says, there is a generation that are pure. Where? Where are they pure? In their own eyes. In their own eyes. And yet is not washed from their filthiness. If you come to verse 13, it kind of continues the theme of arrogance. The theme of arrogance. Now, the first was ingratitude. But now when you look at verse 12, they're pure in their own eyes. And then you come to verse 13, there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes. And their eyelids are lifted up. Can you get the idea in mind as they think they're pure. Nothing wrong with me. I go to church. I do this. I do that. And they're lofty. They're up, you know, they're just above everybody. And their eyelids are lifted up. Today, in today's way of putting it, their nose is in the air. Isn't that about how we would say it? Somebody that has a pretty high opinion of themselves. So here you have, in just these few verses, he's talking about, number one, ingratitude. Now, why does he do that? So that Randy Bray makes certain that I understand what God's done for us. Well, let me just bring it home. Can I share with you what happened to me this morning, early this morning, as I was with my time in the Lord? And I was praying. And the Bible says in Romans 7, when I would do good, what is present with me? Evil, that's right. So as I began to worship the Lord in prayer, and again, this is not about Randy Bray, okay? I hope you know me well enough. When I bring these things up, it's not the old saying, pin a rose on my nose, because I failed the Lord so many times. But this morning, I caught it. And I just worded these words, Lord, thank you for being so kind. And as soon as I said that, there was a voice in my mind. When I would do good, the word would there is, it's not a helping verb. It means to consider a matter and to arrive at a conclusion. You've thought about it and you've come to a conclusion. That's what Romans is, Romans 7:21. When I would do good, I think about it, I want to do the right thing. Evil is present with me, all right? So that's the old flesh. Well, this morning I said, Lord, thank you for being so kind. Boom, that fast. I mean, probably faster than that. How's God been good to you? And thankfully, I've done this enough times through the years, over and over and over. I go through it every day in the world, with mental battles just like you do. Sometimes we're just not aware of it. But when you start paying attention, those second thoughts that come, and they have a defiling nature to it, doesn't mean you introduce that. Well, I won't teach that tonight, but you have to be aware of it. And so here's what I did, and it was huge. It was was it a blessing. I said, oh, okay, devil. Just because of that, thank you for reminding me. I'm just going to start naming the various ways God's been kind to me. And I went back to 1974, and I went back up to 1978. I talked about answers to prayer God gave me. I mean, I had a longer time of prayer this morning than a lot of times I do. And it wasn't just counting my blessings. It was going to where God was kind to me. And I just bathed in it. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. But what we're saying here is he is saying ingratitude. And then not only ingratitude, verse 13, 12 and 13 talks about arrogance and pride. Arrogance and condescending, looking down on others. They lift up their eyelids. Okay. I smell better than that individual. I look better than that individual, or whatever it is. All right. So then we come to verse number 14. Let's look at it. Boy, it kind of gets to it. In verse number 14, he says, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among men. And you look at verse 16 and it goes along with that. Well, verse 15, the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. All right, as we look at that, and you look at 15, you look at 16, the horse leech, and verse 6 is the two daughters crying, give, give. What's a horse leech? What do you think it is? What does a leech do? Help me out. What is a leech? That's right. It attaches something, it attaches itself to something to get life out of that individual so that they can have life of their own. Is that about right? So a horse leech gets on a horse because it has what it wants to get out of him. And here's a horse leech. And it says, verse 15, the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. In other words, they want to get alongside someone, not to be a blessing, not to have fellowship, as 1 John 1 says, one with another. But they want to come along someone because they're popular or they're wealthy or they have something to give. And so by being associated with them, and so, well, here you have, they're injurious is the way I put it. They're injurious to the vulnerable. And there's a lot of folks like that, that it doesn't bother them. Well, that's their own fault. They got taken advantage of or whatever else it is. And verse 16 says, verse 14 talks about their teeth are as swords, their jaws as knives. So they prey upon the vulnerable, and the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. And there are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things that say it is not enough. And he talks about the grave and the fire and so forth. And it just reminds me, so as I finish up tonight, and obviously we just got started, I'm halfway through the first page. Well, arthritis won't let me get to the second page. But the second page is, maybe I can do it better. There we go. I got it. If you went all the way through it, here are the subjects that I came up with in the negative. Ingratitude, arrogance, injurious to the vulnerable, condescending, bitter, conditions promoting justified injustices. In other words, they're doing the wrong thing to someone and they justify it themselves. That's in verse 21. You have verse 32 and 33 is belligerence. It's a strategy for self-advancing. They do what they want to do. But in this same chapter, he goes into some glorious things. Verses 18 and 19, things too wonderful. Talks about the way of an eagle. You'll notice with the good things that he says, there's two exceptions, but everything else he uses an animal. He uses, let's see, an eagle and a serpent on a rock. He talks about a ship that's in the midst of the sea, a man with a maid. He talks about ants and the conies and the locust and the spider. He talks about a lion and a greyhound. And then he talks about a king. So many different things that when you and I get an overview of it, and the gentlemen that will teach next week are going to land and gain some great principles out of at least one or two of these things, each that will be a blessing to you. So as I began to go through it, and I struggled with it, Lord, what do you want me to give? And to these folks, and first of all, Lord, I need it for me. And it helped me to realize, just like Romans 16, and I didn't even think about that until just a few minutes ago, that what a parallel that is. It's reminding me, even from the Old Testament Proverbs, from this man who is of the tribe of Benjamin, not Judah, but of the tribe of Benjamin, that, you know what? God was saying to them in that day and to us in this day, watch about being ungrateful. Watch about being and having gratitude. Watch about being arrogant and the other things that will rob us of our walk with the Lord. Okay, does that make sense? I hope you'll get into it again and study it a little bit and let the Lord show you what he has for you from the Word of God. I trust that you will. Well, I'm going to scoot down with the young people and let me just ask for the ones who are here, Maybe I already asked this. I don't remember. How many of you would enjoy a study in the book of Daniel? Did I ask if you would enjoy it?
Yes.
I did. Okay. And I think it was okay. I thought maybe I just said when was the last time, but I did ask about that. And I'm looking for, pray for me. It's been a while since I've studied it. And so I'm going to get back at it and look forward to it. And just finished reading it, not just last week, as a matter of fact. But praise the Lord.